In 1941, amidst World War II, one of the greatest tragedies and evils in history, C.S. Lewis took on writing a book, which he later named Screwtape Letters. This book is a series of letters, imaginary letters, between a senior devil named Screwtape and his nephew, who's named Wormwood. And he writes him, giving him instruction and advice on how to be a good devil. Of course, it's a satire, but it contains a lot of great insight into how Satan works and how he tries to get us away from God. One of the pieces of advice that he gives to Wormwood is this. He says, "Avoid a direct assault on the faith. A better strategy is to cloud reality." Avoid a direct assault on the faith. A better strategy is to cloud reality. If I were to ask you today to name the most evil thing you can think of, you'd probably mention something like murder or war or something really, really bad, right? But yet, is that really Satan's best strategy? Is that really his best method? No. He's much more trickier than that. He probably can't get any of you, and please don't test him, but he probably can't get any of you to murder anybody tonight. But he can trick you into a lot of other things. You see, Satan, from his perspective, it is much more profitable for him, and it's much more reasonable for him to attack you in areas that maybe you're not even looking for them. That if you were there was an idea proposed in your head, you might actually entertain it. Because if you went out of church tonight and thought, gee, I'd really like to go murder somebody, you're going to reject the thought right away because it's ridiculous. And so Satan knows he can't come at you that way. So he comes at you much more crafty. He clouds your thinking. He causes you to permit omissions. It's one of his biggest tactics. And he distorts the truth. Take a truth and twist it. It'll still have a little bit of truth in it, but a whole lot of wrong. One of the most subtle of temptations can really be the most dangerous ones for us, because they're the trickiest. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, John, the Apostle John, is having this vision of heaven. And the Lamb, who is Jesus, says to those who are being judged, "Would that they would be hot or cold, but if they are lukewarm, I will vomit them out of my mouth." It's kind of an icky way of putting it, right? But Jesus is trying to get something very clear across to us. And what does he mean by that? He means he'd rather we be a follower and be all in, totally with him, submitting our whole lives to God, or be cold and turn away from him. Why? Because if we're cold, he can turn us back. At least we're 100% one way or the other, but if we're 50-50, if we're 70-30, if we're lukewarm, guys, that's exactly where Satan wants us. That's exactly where he can do the most damage. When we tell ourselves that, you know what, I go to church on Sunday, I haven't murdered anybody, I'm a good person, I give, you know, 5% to the church, I'm doing good. That's lukewarm, guys. How many of Jesus' apostles who were his first followers died for their faith? All of them. Every last one of them. Jesus himself died to bring good news. Do not expect in this life that if you live your faith, it's going to be easy or it's going to be convenient. Jesus is asking nothing more than everything we have. I once watched an interview with Bono, the lead singer of U2. U2 is used to be one of my favorite bands, and then every album just sounded like the last album, so stopped listening to him. But they were doing this interview with him, and they asked him about his Christianity. And they're trying to get a sense of, okay, what kind of Christian is this guy Bono? I mean, is he, you know, like some people out there who in the mainstream, they think Jesus was he's a prophet and he was a good guy, but, you know, the whole all-in deal, celibacy, I mean, just all these crazy ideas. I don't know about that. So they asked him, well, who do you think Jesus was? He says, well, there's a lot of people out there who say he was a prophet, and he was, that he was a good guy, and he was, but that's not who Jesus said he was. Jesus came claiming that he was the Son of God, and he was murdered for it. Now, you're either, as C.S. Lewis would say, or G.K. Chesterton would say, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Right? Because no guy's going to go out saying, I'm God, and get killed for it and be totally okay with that. Either that, or he's nuts, or he is who he says he was. And he requires 100% devotion all of our lives. You know, one of my favorite memories from here at Christ the King was the Sunday we had the Holy Savior choir here. Nothing against our musicians, by the way. But there were two ladies sitting right over here. And every time I said something, they'd shout out amen, you know? Or you could hear them, because I was close enough, I could hear them going, mm-hmm. I loved it. If you guys could help me out, I'd love it. But no, why did that enthrall me so much? Because it let me know that they were engaged in the Word, right? And I would have been just as happy if they would have booed if I said something they didn't like. It was just the fact that they were engaged instead of sitting like a stump on a log in the pew. And they'd say, amen. Amen. What does amen mean? Most of you know it means so be it. It's saying I agree with that. But for us as Christians, it means much more than that. You guys will say amen a couple times today to things I say. And number one, you probably aren't even thinking about it, right? We're thinking about dinner right now, let's be honest, right? I am. There's meatloaf, leftover meatloaf, and there's hardly anything better than leftover meatloaf. That's why it's so helpful to pull out those missalettes and to read along. Because when we start engaging more than one sense, when we start engaging not only our ears but our eyes, we start diving in. That's why we as Catholics, we genuflect and we kneel. We're involving every sense. That's why we use incense and try to keep the church clean. Our smell too. We want to engage our whole person in God. And when we say amen, it's not just saying I agree. It's saying, God, I give my whole self to what was just said. That I give my heart and my mind and my body, every resource I have, every resource I don't have. I want you to take all of me. That's something worth saying amen to. And a guy who came and claim to be God made man demands nothing less of us. Amen?
Amen.
You guys sound like white people. Just teasing. You know, there's another saying that Jesus said. He said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And of course, he's talking about our integrity, that we don't say one thing and do another. And brothers and sisters, the reality is, every single one of us sitting in this room, minus the guy in that tabernacle, is a hypocrite. Every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us say one thing and do another, sometimes, in some ways, to some degree, right? And we don't judge somebody else who's struggling with the same thing we're struggling with just because they are in a deeper struggle than us. But at the same time, while recognizing that we are fallen and we all do struggle like that, that doesn't become a permission for us to just give up on perfection. Jesus may have said, let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. He may recognize that we're sinners and invites us to his forgiveness every day. But he's also the one that said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the heavenly Father is perfect in love. You know, if I talked a couple weeks ago about our baptism and how really you could boil down the whole Christian life to, am I living out my baptism? That one question. And I guess I was kind of reflecting on that earlier today in preparation for tonight, and it made me ask myself the question, am I a truthful person? Now, I've never lied under oath. I've probably exaggerated a few stories, especially when they make Father Matt look good. But it's not that kind of truthful. It's when I say amen. Am I being truthful when I say amen? Am I being truthful by saying, Lord, I want you to take all of me, every last part of me. I want you to take even the parts that I'm resistant to you, that I'm holding you off. When I say amen, do I mean it? Does my amen mean amen? Am I a truthful person?